ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through his servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at theseedsowersministry18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Religious growth does not move God. Spiritual growth is manifested in humility and love. And there are a lot of emphasis on religious growth. Look at what Zakunen said. He said, including going for mission trips.
Yes.
You are considered a very serious man when they say, we just came back from a mission trip. We just travel around the world. I don't know, maybe you think like me. I used to tell God, I can't travel around the world and all my effort is not worth the gate of heaven. You don't understand? That all my effort is not worth standing on the final day to get heaven. Yet, I move around the world. Because it's possible to be in ministry and end up a waste. Because the true mark that you know Christ, say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ's mind. And that's another thing. Your mind is the greatest opposition to the things that God is doing in your spirit. Your mind, the soul realm, is the greatest opposition to the things God is doing in your spirit. And God will evaluate you by the content of your mind, not of your spirit. There's no time to look at it. The way your mind, which is the realm of the will, has been conquered, is the true evaluation before God of who you are, not what is in your spirit. We have placed emphasis as to think it is the spirit. No. The spirit is like the engine where God wants to instruct you from. But when he has conquered the soul, that's when God has truly conquered you. See, today our language is saving of souls, not saving of spirits. So, whatever God does in your spirit, the target is your soul. So, when God has succeeded with your soul, yes, he has won the battle. But if he didn't succeed with your soul, no matter what you claim to be in your spirit, they are not truly evaluated. So, humility is the true mark of spirituality. And I remember when the Lord began to deal with this in my own heart and life, I began to see that, you check Isaiah, you check Psalms, there are some scriptures that, do you mind if we could just open them on humility? That used to touch me. Two scriptures. They cease not to touch me. Isaiah 66 and verse 1.
Should I read?
Yes, if you are there.
Thus saith the Lord.
Are we all there? Let's all be there.
Isaiah 66, verse 1.
Verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Thus saith the Lord. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?
Hmm.
For all those things are my handmade, and all those things have been, said the Lord.
Uh-huh.
But with this man will I
look. Look at that. I created the heavens and all of that too, but that's not my focus. Did you see that? All I have created the heavens and the earth and all of that, but I'm not interested in sun, moon, and star. There's a man that I look. Who is the man?
This man will I look.
This man. Listen to me. You know, Bible commanded him to look up to God. But God also look at somebody. Who is the man?
Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit.
The person that is poor and of a contrite spirit,
and trembles at
my name. Let's find out another translation so that King James looked too very strong. Yeah, so humility is measured by what? Your attitude to the word and the condition of your heart. Shall you see the definition of humility? Your attitude to God's word and the condition of your heart. That's how humility is measured from that scripture. He that is of a poor and contrite spirit and that trembles at my word. Do you have another translation? Verse, is that verse 3 or verse 2?
Verse 2, amplified.
This is the man I will look and what?
Regard.
So God can regard somebody. Yes. Hope you know, if I regard you, what does that mean?
You honor, you reference, you...
How can God, who is the Most High, be having regard? You see, these things, by the time you look at it left and right, is humility going back to you? How can God regard you? Even for being humble, what is his regard for? He said by regard. There's something about God nobody should miss. How can you now hear the gospel and this does not produce in you? Gospel of that came from God through Christ and left you proud. Let's check the gospel you had.
Sometimes you have to consider this part of God. If you want to contradict the other part of God, of God is also a judge, somebody who is so...
A consuming fire.
That is what makes it humble. You don't understand? That thing you said now is what makes it humbling. That the one who consumes still respects. You don't understand?
Yes, sir.
In fact, if you meditate on that, that's what makes it humbling. That the one who can consume you regards you. Read on. Look at that. That has what?
Who is humble?
There are several people who have lost their consecration. They've lost so many things because of a proud heart. What God looks for in a vessel, I can tell you, the number one, the most basic, the most important is humility. Humility leads you into the journey of spirituality. Humility leads you in the journey of usefulness. There is nobody who will be truly useful in the hands of the Lord that is not humble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I didn't want her to be so. So, amen. Amen. Now, maybe this is about the Lord. The Lord in mercy just directed me that we should listen to his opponent first. Why to while away time? But that's actually what he wanted us to listen to. So, bro, that God is consuming, yet he now said, I regard you. You know, I don't know. Please, go and meditate.
You can explain.
Thank you. Go and meditate because it will beat down your heart.
It will look like the two sides.
It will beat down your heart. Let me give you an example. What God has done to me. Do you know if I want to criticize Toby's error, I'm be afraid. You know, when all you see is fault in people, it's a sign of pride. When all you see, you quickly see fault in people, it's a sign of pride. I have observed that if I'm relating with you, and the quick things I quickly see is her weakness. there's a pride in me.
Wait. You know why I say like that? My standard is God. Because God sees my weakness, yet he emphasizes my strength. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? Holy Spirit is called Comforter. The real root translation of that word we have from Derek Prince is encourager. It's not really comforting out of sore trouble. That the Holy Spirit encourages you on your strength above your weakness. Jesus saw this weakness of everybody. What they amplify in Peter is strength. How can you tell somebody that betrayed you and they took everybody back to fishing and you say, feed my lambs? He knows he carries an influence. When what I see in a disciple is fault, I'm proud. Come. When you see a weakness in a disciple, the first thing is to talk to God about it before talking to that disciple about it. When you are eager to say it, you yourself have pride. His pride. I tell you several times, I'm forced of her to say. Like the matter, brothers, that I was raised. Are you with us, brother?
Yes, sir.
When the Lord said, the art, not the act. How can you see somebody manifest attitude for you? And God said, don't focus on that. Focus on the art. I said, you are the one seeing the art. I can't see. Say that, that's what I'm telling you. You know, the more I got patient, the real person started coming out. I said, so. You know, several people have been misjudged and it brought them bitterness. I've done it before too. Sometimes God will say, boy, you misjudge that boy. He's stubborn, God said. Were you not stubborn? If I was, how many times did God convince me to be in ministry? Were you not stubborn? And if anytime I'm trying to point out the fault in a disciple, the first thing God will say is that, now you are pointing out fault. What about you? How many times did I correct you on this? Did you pray for? And I'm confessing before you, I've done that before. In fact, there are times that I did it that I literally repented. I'm telling you, I must be very serious. I've done it before, and I've done it over and over again. But by the grace of God, I don't do it again. When you are, and you see, it was much money. It was much money that said, what you quickly detect in somebody is what you have. Yeah? But that is the fault you quickly detect in someone that you are eager to talk about without first praying about is the same weakness you have. Is either it's in the normal Christian life, change to his likeness, or the release of the Spirit is in one of those books. Watch this. When I say, let me tell you something, you argue too much with people. I should change. I may also, now maybe my own may be more mature, but my heart argues with people. I'm telling you. See, maybe if I'm now sharing this now because I'm privileged by God to be your brother. Maybe if I give you my quiet time note, I know, if not years, that I did not have two topics in quiet time. It was just humility. How can God, if God wants to talk this quiet time, it's not two subjects. If I like, let me go and read Nehemiah that rebuild the temple. I used to be shocked how a story that does not look like humility is involved. God will point me to humility. You know what made Lucifer rejected forever? It wasn't two things. Right. Do you know Lucifer entered the class of cannot be forgiven?
Yes.
For what? For pride. And at the root of every problem in every mission agency or church is what? Is pride. So, I want to beg us. So, I balancing that. So, as I saw myself focus on the Lord, who was telling me that the heart of that person is not, should not be measured with the act. So, I had to be praying. You see, that's what makes you bear witnesses of people. When you discover you cannot bear witnesses of people, you are proud. It's a sign of pride. You can't bear witness of people. It's pride. Okay, you ask me how. But Jesus bore it. In fact, the even Holy Spirit is bearing our infirmities. You know the Bible says, for the Spirit of God, it bears with that. And infirmities means weakness. It's not sin. It's not sickness. So it's weakness. Look, if they were to evaluate how much I forget instructions that God gave me, I shouldn't be useful. I shouldn't be preaching yet. How many instructions have I forgotten? How many did I not carry out? How many did I not do? How many times did God have to speak to me over and over again before something sank in? This is how we raise disciples. And don't forget, you know, Brother Joseph, did you get the balance now? That word from the Lord started making me to pray. Do you know, the more I prayed, the more I began to see the person in a new light. Prayer changes your sight and perspectives. Who you did not pray for, you can't know them correctly.
Yes.
Mm. You can. You will be always be seeing what you are not supposed to see. There are some disciples that when you know their sick, their weakness and their faults, your duty is not forced to criticize. It's forced because when you note a disciple that genuinely wants to follow the Lord, his weaknesses becomes a reason to pray. Not a reason to criticize. Not a reason to bring out. Sometimes, sir, we bring out a disciple's weakness publicly without first talking to God. I don't know. Is it this subject? Maybe for me, one of my greatest subjects. You can't give me book. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
If you ask, people ask me, Rowena, how can I be praying for you? I don't have too many things. I just say, ask God to make me more humble. Ask God, sorry, that I will be more humble, not to make me more humble. But I have understand. Because if God makes you humble, he's disgraceful. Look at me, that's all. And check out the humility. Humility is your personal responsibility. Humility is your personal responsibility. Jesus Christ humbled himself. If God humbles you, God saying, you are proud against me, so can I humble you. Don't let God humble you, because he can humble you. One of my greatest prides that, you know, we are linking something with something now. Humility attracts mercy and grace. Because to come to the throne, that must be the criteria that brings you to the throne of grace and mercy. You are bold, yet you are humble. Boldness is different from pride. Hallelujah. So, before we take that thing, back to the matter that we raised that time, that humility is what everybody that is coming into Christianity must be confronted with. You first of all must see the humility of Jesus to go to the cross. The sinfulness that you are, how sinful you are, I mean, whether morally sound or not, that causes you to change your way of thinking and attitude. After that, you go to confess his lordship and the things he has done. When these two things are balanced in agreement, each time we see your life, you emanate one thing in a progressive way. What is that? Humility and love. Because the person you contacted on the cross, he was humble to be there and he loved us to be there. How can the gospel that produced you, which is the gospel from the cross, make you more proud and resentful? You didn't hear the gospel. Forget Canal Crescent, generated series. Forget that. Forget all those whatever. Go to the scripture. Now, the place that people can use as argument is the Corinthian church. I've heard somebody say they were the most spiritual church, yet they were the most carnal. I said, you are wrong. Go back to 1 Corinthians and see that many people can be inside church. There are some wrong ones among them. They were addressing some people who had come to the faith. You know, there's no one say forever say. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You know there's nothing like that.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing like that. I mean, you think there's something like that?
One save forever.
That there is nothing you can. If you like, go and fornicate, go and abuse, go and. You're already eternally secure. No, there's nothing like that. Your cooperation is involved. Amen. I mean, is there somebody else that I does not believe that with?
The aspect of God.
The aspect of God is secure. That, we're not supposed to be going back on it. I've taught us this.
So for the fact that the person can say commit, it shows it's no sin.
It's not. For the fact that the person can still love to commit sin. Not make mistakes, but love to commit sin. Jesus. You can't love sin and be punished.
Yes.
You understand? There can be mistake. There can be love for sin. You can't love sin. If anybody does that, it's not sin. Don't add to it. It's not sin. So, hallelujah. The Lord will strengthen us. So, let me balance that. Then start to ask a question. Don't forget all the words. If I'm quick to see someone's weakness, and I did not talk to God for the I am also proud. And what Fanny said, what you see quickly in a person, you have it. That's why you are easily noting that. That one affected me. What I see quickly in a person. I remember when I first got that's when I knew, when I now sat down well and looked, I saw I had the same problem. I was pointing at people. So it takes examination to examine yourself that makes you truly see. And I have to. So when I see a fault in people now, the first thing I used to do is. That's what I did. When I now discover that it's not there, prayer. But you know sometimes, arrogance of our heart makes so quickly talk before we speak to God.
Yes.
And it's arrogance.
So what you're using is a revelation.
It's a revelation. Yes. Thank God for that. It's a revelation.
Yes.
Actually, it is a revelation from the Lord. Do you understand? I'll use our example. Jesus. How can you go to meet them at the side of the river? You did not raise the backsliding. You didn't even raise the betrayal. You didn't raise the going fishing. You even said, children, come and eat. Ah, it's in your Bible. Jesus did fish and asked a backslider to come and eat. What was he looking at? His heart.
So that means there's every tendency that if Judah did not kill himself, he could have been brought.
That's back. Now, thank you. Now, I thank you, my brother, that Judas Iscariot repented but did not confess. He could not see. Let me ask you a question. Did Peter also raise the issue with Jesus?
No!
No, it's not that. He was able to accept the love. That's the confession part. He too did not say, but what about? I took your people back a fish. When they say, do you love me? I do. Do you love me? I do. They watch this. See a man of humility. He said when Jesus asked the third time, he says, I was pleading. Look at his response. Master, even you know my heart. It's not equal to this act. He didn't raise it. Look at it. Just to be like Jesus. But do you know, by the grace of God, if somebody tell me that, I really thank God for your life. I used to tell them that, am I like Jesus? You know, Peter, and that's something fresh. Do you know Peter did not say, sir, what about that man? I attitude. That's the confession part, agreement. He agrees. Hallelujah. And I like the way they did it in that movie. What did Jesus do? He called him aside. Do you know, even almost at that time? Do you remember when John the Beloved was now following? Peter was still trying to say, what about this man? Do you know Jesus refocused him? You. Look at Jesus. He looks at your heart. Have you got some?
Okay.
You can stop it.
I don't know where to stop.
He looks, and I want to bless the Lord that he looks at my heart, not my act. And you know the funniest thing? I look at my act, not my heart. And you know, because I look at my act, it kept me long years as a useful vessel. I did not become useful in his hands. So each time they gave me a new opportunity, I said, "Toh, is it me that is like this, that can do this?" And I will hear this, we say, "Go there." So imagine, watch this. You know, and Jesus rebuked one man for that. Me that they gave new space, despite my act, because they saw my act. It is me that will now saw acts in disciples. Are you getting it? I will now go to him to say, "No, that's your attitude. I watched you. This is where you are." And sometimes we tell people, "I have known you. You have a proud heart." We label the disciple as proud. Rather than sometimes deal with the matter at hand, we conclude and summarize. I've seen it. I've seen the weakness. I've seen what it costs. One person that I really value, probably wrote in a book, he said, "I have mishandled some disciples." When I read that, I said, that's why the song, "Oh, to be like him, oh, to be like him, precious Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thy own image deep on my heart." I'll never forget the revival that came on our campus in that song. "Oh, to be like him, oh, to be like him, precious Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness." Watch the word. "Stamp thy own image deep on my heart." I remember that meeting. We kept singing, "Stamp thy own image deep on my heart. Stamp thy own image." It's an operation of the Spirit. "Stamp thy own image." Each time I look at you, stamp something. Each time I look at the word, stamp something. "Stamp thy own image." That's the man that can pray. To this, let me show you the second scripture that used to wow me on humility. Are we learning?
Yes,
sir. He is faithful to help us in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. This scripture does not cease to wow me. Are you there?
Yes, I am the high.
Hear God. Yes?
I am the high and holy God.
I am the high and holy God.
Who lives forever?
Who is that, King James?
No, sir.
Let's find another translation first. King James first.
For thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
For thus saith the high and lofty one.
I am the high and lofty one.
That inhabiteth eternity.
Where am I inhabiting?
Eternity.
Eternity, yes.
Whose name is holy.
That's my name.
I dwell in the high and holy place.
Uh-huh.
With him also. With him also.
I dwell where?
In the high and holy place.
With who?
With him also.
Uh-huh.
That is of a contrite and of the spirit.
Please, what does this mean? Where God is where he raises the humble man's toe. Oh, you did not see it. Read another translation.
Okay, Amplified.
Mm-hmm.
For thus is
the high and lofty one, hearing that it's eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place.
I dwell in the high and holy place.
But with him also, who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble.
Leave that revive, because that's not my focus. I wish I could teach on that, but that's not the focus. Does he have a light there? Go on.
The high and lofty one who inhabit eternity.
What does he say?
The only one says this.
The only one says this.
I live in that high and holy place.
I live in that high and holy place.
With those whose spirit are contrite and humble.
The day I saw this, this scripture, where normally is the humble one? On the floor. So because it's on the floor, and God sees that, God picks him to his side. That's why if you talk against Moses, leprosy, I can call you for a meeting that you were talking, because we dwell in the same place. That's why Jesus is at his right. Jesus is at his right.
So he now says, he says, I refresh the humble.
I refresh the humble.
And give new courage to those with repentant hearts.
Our Holy God lives forever.
Does he have some light to us?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Our Holy God lives forever.
He lives forever
in the highest heaven.
In the highest heaven.
And this is what he says.
This is what he says.
Though I live high above in the holy place.
Though I live high above in the holy place.
I am here to help those who are humble.
Right. That one looks a little bit away from. Hallelujah. Let's stay on those ones. Where is God? But you know, that's also humility on that. That's also humility. Look at this. If I want to be selfish, sweetheart, is there something else? Yes. Okay, she's gone. Go.
Yes. So that we can learn. God doing something with me.
Okay.
Sincerely, because as you sang that song, I just.
Loneliness. That's powerful. Loneliness in the heart. So the position that pride is struggling for. The position that pride is struggling for.
Humility
takes you there, but doesn't just take you there. It takes you there effortlessly and leaves you there. Has God helped you? Till I die, these two scriptures cannot leave me. That's why when I'm trying to claim my place, I'm proud. When I'm trying to, listen to this, anytime I try to prove my worth to my wife, I'm not humble. The only way to remain the head is to remain on the floor. Loneliness in the heart, highest placed in heaven. So, can I now ask you, do you know the secret why God too is high now? He is the most humble. Obatawri, Arishe Obore, Oshubadele. He is not seen, yet he prefers to be like that. Now we are going to pray. But before that, this scripture is Isaiah 51. I remember when I saw it. High, and you don't know me of lofty. Lofty is a big word. For that translation here, try to read. When you say somebody is high, it's already high. But when you say lofty, it's a very extreme end for exaltation. One who is lofty is one who is beyond reproach. One who is lofty, you know, it's not like say he's ahead of you. That's not loftiness. Loftiness is ahead of you. To be lofty is that you are like a speck of dust, while he feels everywhere. And yet he said, I will dwell there with. So that already shows you too that God does not want to stay alone in what rightfully belongs to him. That's humility. Now watch me. Where is everyone who is truly humble in heart? Let me give an example. Do you know Zakponim? Zakponim, God gave him a very strong revelation on his humility. When you start listening to his messages,
you'll be shocked. Every message is impregnated with this humility. Humility. Let me shock you. You see the way he's preaching. Does he look like any... In fact, he sat down. The way God gave him places will shock you. I have observed that. Men of might and strength, only for a time will they exist. Their ministries...
Listen close up. Hear me. Go and mark it. Write it down. Men of you, be. God may give them space in mercy. If he loves them, there's one thing he's going to be emphasizing to them. Humble yourself. If they fail, there are
many ministries that are great that have closed up. We don't even remember them again. I'm not joking. You'll be shocked at many ministries that have been raised mightily but have died. I want to be truly humble. That's just, see, I don't know what you call prayer. And that's where I have problem with prayer. That's when I have
problem with prayer. That it almost confused me. And the Lord said, what did I show you? What is your standard? I saw that prayer is summed up in the word humility. So, forget that. That the man is coming to tell you that he spent 12 hours in prayer. He has lost his prayer. What is the true mark of prayer? The way your heart keeps going down. And the more you go down, the more you go up. When can God help you, Joseph? Each time you go down, you tell myself, if you don't show up in this thing, you can like gossip. Let's lift it. That's it. But the pocket around me before God. That's why I remember when the Lord was teaching me this thing. I hope this will not confuse somebody. I have not found myself to pray without lying down before him. Do you understand? It's not public. I'm not talking about it. To pray. I will still stand up and pray back to God. I'll first lie down first. Because in front of whom are you standing? And it must not be useless prostrating. Your heart. I can almost tell you that I know how Jesus used to pray. In his closet, he must be on his knees. He must be on his face. I can almost tell you that as the scripture told us, he must be looking up. I know that if we do this, all our disciples will change. All our disciples will say, look at this. What has happened to this brother? Shall you differentiate between act and heart?
Yes, sir.
Did you remember I said it does not impress your acts on them? What does it impress?
Your acts.
Let's pray. Go before the Lord. You want to kneel, you want to prostrate. You want to repent. Evaluate this message. Lord, where have I misunderstood disciples? I have spoken about their fault before I spoke to you. Quiet pride in my heart. I didn't even tell anybody anything. But I have pride in my heart. Prayerlessness is a sign of pride. I have seen my own pride several occasions. There are some times I did things without praying. It was a manifestation of pride in my life. Would you pray? Speak to the Lord. True sign of spiritual growth is humility and love. Because love is sacrifice. He who is truly humble will love. Love is something that naturally flows from an humble heart. Love naturally flows from an humble heart. You can't struggle with people. Doesn't mean you may not make mistakes, but you quickly call yourself to order. and say, it should not be like this. Because my heart is not rebellious. Let's truly pray. God will make us genuinely humble people. Because humility and love is the mark of spiritual growth. And this is the person that can truly pray. That can truly pray. Because God said, He pays attention to such a man, such a woman. Lord, we help us as we pray right now.